The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Welcome back, everybody, to Podcast Beyond, episode 403. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me today, Marty Sliva.
Hello, everybody.
Andrew Goldfarb.
Hi.
You got way up in there.
Wow. Well, so last week, I got some tweets last week. Then the video version, my face was blocked by the mic. So now I'm
now it looks invisible. Weird. Now it looks like that mic is doing weird things.
And yeah. Jared Petty.
Hi.
Brian Altano is has
indisposed.
He went to the airport.
He's hunting buffalo.
Something.
He's finally getting TSA pre-check, which I highly recommend. I have global entry and pre-check. It's real nice.
That'd be real sad if you got declined for high TSA pre-check.
You can.
Yeah.
Well, you have to. Yeah. For global entry, you have to apply with like your last 5 years of like living history and employment history. And like there was a little while in there where I was like freelancing and like on couches, but like you can't have any gaps.
Okay. Well, wait. So like if you're
like, I had to put like little addresses and be like, they were like begin in February, end in February.
Oh no, wait, they hold unemployment against you though? Like what if like your industry like shuts down or something and you lose your job?
You can put self-employed during that time, I think.
Okay.
World's number one PlayStation podcast.
Absolutely.
I'm just tired of thinking about that. I'm sorry if I'm a little bit low energy today. I think I have a sinus infection. I was really sick last week.
We missed you while you were gone.
Yeah, we missed you.
It's been kind of a rough, weird week. I just kind of crashing from 7 months of just kind of going hard doing IGN stuff
and partying nonstop.
We got Gamescom coming up, and PAX Prime 2, and the jury's still out on TGS and Paris Games Week, but
there's
that is
D23,
a possibility.
There's New York Comic Con.
D23 I'm thankfully not involved with.
Yeah.
No idea about
Have
Comic
you seen
Con.
The first 22Ds?
I heard that. I keep thinking it's a Mighty Duck sequel. Yeah. Like, I keep thinking that it's just like, yeah, you thought that D2 was crazy.
Was that
These kids are all in their 40s
was
now.
Was Mighty Ducks a Disney movie?
Mighty Ducks was a Disney movie.
Could Mighty Ducks be in Kingdom Hearts 3?
I would love it if they did like a Kingdom Hearts thing where it was all of the weird sort of like B-side deep cut Disney stuff, like the Mighty Ducks animated series that came out in 1996 where they were aliens and they lived in Anaheim.
That would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
And they fought these like weird orcs.
Oh man.
Yes.
For some reason.
Just entirely based on Disney cartoons like Goof Troop and Gargoyles.
Yeah.
Totally.
They're cool.
Wait a minute. Was Gargoyles produced by Disney?
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Marty has a good Gargoyles.
Yeah. Okay. I never told you my Gargoyles story.
I love Gargoyles. We can totally talk about
this.
Let's pretend we're talking about speculative Kingdom Hearts DLC. Marty, will always talk about Gargoyles. Tell me about
there
it.
Was
Who's
a,
your favorite, first
There was
of all?
A bartender. I like the little dog one. What was his name?
Oh, Bronx?
Yeah.
Bronx is pretty good.
There was a character named Xanatos.
Yeah, so, David Xanatos was the main villain.
Wow, didn't expect that.
With the help of Detective Elisa Maza.
That's right.
Goliath and
that
Friends.
That was a fine television show.
I watched the crap out of Gargoyles.
Although, when they got the time travel stuff, it was a little odd.
Then it got weird.
A bartender who I had a huge crush on at a bar in San Francisco called Giordano Brothers. We were talking about sometime. I don't know what we were talking about, but the show Gargoyles got brought up. And I was like, man, that was a really cool cartoon. Do you remember it? And she's like, I do. My dad created it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And her favorite game was Grim Fandango.
Her favorite game of all time.
I have a crush on her right now.
She had a tattoo of Han Solo's blaster.
What?
Yep.
A DL-44?
She fell off the grid.
Fell off the grid. She didn't have any social media, and she quit that place, and now she's off the grid.
Wow. And she's famous. She's living in a wigwam.
She turned to stone at the top of a building.
She's like living in a wigwam in the Poconos or something.
Yeah. It's a yurt.
It's pretty cool.
Long house. Hey, we got some cookies with Andrew this week.
Oh, boy. Oh. Let's do it.
I kind of burped when I said that.
But you just sounded, you could not have sounded less interested in quickies with Andrew.
Why don't you take us, in the old phone closet and give us a couple cookies?
I thought you said cookies with Andrew.
Before we start, we should talk about these little guys. If you're watching the video.
Yeah, aren't they great?
Look at these very adorable. Nice.
If you're not watching the video, you have no idea what we're referring to.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
That's an audio. This is an audio only thing, or a video only. So if you're watching audio, you're never going to know what we're talking
exclusive.
About.
Exclusive. I like that. Like, these are adorable and incredible. I like that your glasses are so thick. It almost looks like you're wearing like a bandit mask. Like a slide.
For those of you listening at home, these are little portraits of us done in sort of an 8-bit style.
Yeah.
Made out of perler beads, which are a delightful crafting treat.
Thank you for catering to my vanity. I really appreciate this.
Brian
this
was the one who had the letter on who sent it.
It's just fantastic. Yeah.
No. So a beard hair
we'll get next time. We'll put him next time.
I really do love how you're kind of just like one step away from the Hamburglar, though. Yeah, it's great.
It's adorable. Too far off.
I'm sexy new Hamburglar.
Oh. Things Marty Sliva says while looking into my eyes. Just make me want to tear off all of my clothes. Yeah. I just want to burn all the clothes I own. I never want to wear clothes again. That was so sexy.
Look deep.
So turned on right now.
Andrew, for the love of...
I just had grandkids.
For the love of every...
We'll run through these pretty quickly.
No, these are big things.
We top right in
these
the
are important.
Cookie closet.
These are things. We want to talk about them.
Let's make them slightly longer than
these are delicious. These are delicious cookies.
Longies with Andrew Goldberg.
There's a Crash Bandicoot cartoon. Oh, wait. No, there isn't. There never was one. But we found proof that there might have been one at some point. Tell us about the Bandicoot.
Yeah, it was it's like a really weird theme song that plays like a cartoon, but it was meant to be the animated intro, I believe.
Yeah, it was like a demo reel or of some kind, like a proof of concept. One of the lyrics from the song is "Play the game and tell your friends, so we'll make lots of loot." And then a giant money bag drops on them. It's just great.
This is undeniable proof that Crash Bandicoot is stupid. Because they kind of allude to that like 3 or 4 times in the song. They're like, yeah, Crash Bandicoot and friends are going to save the day. Also, Crash is a small brain and he's a dumb man.
Yeah.
It's like 1 + 1 = 3. Yeah, they're playing
Did
off
you
of
know
this.
That Neil That's Druckmann incorrect. And Bruce Straley wrote the lyrics?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real
there's
fact.
A, there's
is
a
that real?
Twist
no,
in
I made that up.
Yeah, it seemed like a lie.
Crash Bandicoot's a weird hero for a couple of reasons. One is that he wears jean shorts and no shirt. So him and John Cena are the two most popular figures to ever wear jean shorts and no shirt.
No shirts, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's sort of strange. I don't know if anyone else has ever done that.
It's antiquated that you say jean shorts
as opposed to
jorts.
I don't like the term jorts. I like a lot of portmanteaus.
It sounds like punching someone in the neck with a sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think jean shorts is better. I prefer that as well.
Okay. Denim shorts.
Marty. What's that? Denim shorts?
Yeah.
They had this denim couch at IKEA the other day. I really wanted it.
Denim couch?
Yeah.
That's awful.
I wanted it so badly.
Sounds comfortable. Sounds like it's going to be really hot.
If you sit on that couch too long in those jeans, you're going to turn into a couch.
I can't get up. I'm fused to the couch.
If I could be fused to a couch for the rest of my life, I'd be all right with that. That sounds kind of like a perfect reality.
Okay, so this wasn't a real cartoon. This was an animated intro. But there have been a lot of video game cartoons. Are there any video game cartoons that people have actually liked?
Well,
I enjoyed the Mortal Kombat one, but I was like 11.
Yeah,
I don't like I can watch the Zelda one like and enjoy it ironically.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh at it and I enjoy it while I'm watching it, but it's not like because it's like so high quality or anything.
Yeah.
Not in the way like back in the day I would watch like Batman animated series. I don't think there's a cartoon that's like of that caliber.
It's really
Pokemon
good,
was kind of a thing that it was cross media, so sort of, but I remember as a kid like having to grab some channel from Chicago that didn't air in like WGN. Via antenna and being able to like watch the cartoon. I think it was before the game came out in the U.S.
Before
the cards and everything.
I remember waiting for the first movie because they had like the Egyptian
Mew. You got the Egyptian Mew.
Right. I waited to get that. I think I went to the second movie in theaters too, possibly.
Mm-hmm. I remember my mom took me to the first
one. I'm sorry, Mom. Yeah. That's like of all the things that I did that were like, you know, like I broke a towel rack once. Like I keyed a rental car. Because I was a kid, I feel really bad about dragging my mom to see the Pokemon movie.
Yep. Yeah. I feel the exact same thing.
Same.
It's just there's a special guilt there.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm a little older than you guys, so I grew up on the video game cartoons we had. There was Saturday Supercade, which was like a variety show with several popular video game characters. For some reason, Frogger was like a newspaper writer. I don't know why.
For some reason, then.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just seemed this odd jump from guy crossing logs to get to his girlfriend to newspaper writer.
Yeah, Frogger had my job before I did.
And then there was Pac-Man. There was Pac-Man with the thing. But, and Pac-Man was, again, both these weren't very good, though. And Captain N was just trash.
Captain N, my favorite memory of Captain N, that was a little bit before my time, but my buddy who had cable internet before everybody else, he used to download shows and stuff and put them on CDs and send them to me, and I'd be like, oh cool, I can, you know, watch some fun things before BitTorrent or whatever. I had a disc for the longest time that was half Captain N and half just hardcore porn. And it was so great because it was in two separate folders. So it'd be like, do I want to find out what's happening in the world of R-Type, or do I want to see some nasty stuff right now?
I like the idea of those two things fusing in your brain. No, so like, whenever anyone's talking about Captain N, you're like,
a picture of me?
What anyone thinks of Simon Belmont?
There's so much Eggplant Wizard stuff going. No, that's just no.
Another show I really liked. It wasn't based on a game, but it was based on games. Was Reboot? Remember Reboot?
Yeah, I liked Reboot a lot.
Everyone liked Reboot. I hated it.
I didn't like it either.
It was in the world of that's what was happening in my PlayStation.
Yeah. That's what was going on inside, right there?
I think
that
so.
Render?
Every time I put a disc in, they got real sad and like people's families died.
Oh, God.
No, I mean, when it comes to good video game cartoons, outside of Wreck-It Ralph, has there actually been a lot?
Street Fighter was all right. I mean, there's been a few good anime for that. There was also the ongoing show. USA had like the market corner on fighting game cartoons.
Yeah.
It's a weird genre to have been like the most successful things. Like, that's surprising to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But
do you guys remember the CG Mortal Kombat movie? It was like a direct-to-video movie, and I think it came with like 3D glasses and like maybe a soundtrack
or
something.
No, definitely don't.
Never seen
it. It is one of the, and I use this term loosely, one of the assiest things I've ever seen.
Other than that folder of porn on your CD.
That was great. That was a great CD that I had. A great burned disc.
Now, I've never watched either of these, but apparently the same animation company that made this Crash Bandicoot thing made full seasons of Earthworm Jim and Wing Commander.
I remember Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim was
theme song.
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim was maybe, I'll put it this way, it was better than Road Rovers.
Yeah, it was a better show than the Beetlejuice cartoon. It was like weird and
it was kind of chasing that Ren and Stimpy ghost.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
You know,
I feel like Wing Commander done in like anime style with a decent script could actually be
like
a
Robot
real. It would just be kind of a cool cartoon show. I would watch that.
Yeah,
It's some Mark Hamill from Wing Commander 3 touch.
I have a feeling Ratchet and Clank the movie could be the next really great one. I mean, it's like TJ Fick.
I hope so. Yeah, he's such a good writer.
And it's sort of just taking the core story of the Ratchet and Clank PS4 reboot remake.
You don't think the Heavenly Sword animated movie will be the next villain?
Maybe. I wasn't a big fan of Heavenly Sword, honestly. I like Enslaved and DMC.
I like Enslaved a lot.
I don't know. The Crash Bandicoot thing is interesting because it really is kind of a throwback to a time when video games were just, they were trying to be cartoons, you know? Like, they were still kind of like, Sonic the Hedgehog was totally like, oh, that was
Julia White.
I actually legitimately enjoyed that as a kid. Like,
really?
I watched, like, a good couple years of that.
Let's go get some chili dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Tails.
What's the...
that was pretty good Julia White.
Thanks, I think. I have a sinus infection if I didn't mention that already.
Okay, moving on. Hideo Kojima. This is good. We did a lot of Kojima stories last week. This one's actually really interesting. Hey, Marty.
Yeah, buddy.
Do you think Kojima hinted at his departure in Ground Zeroes?
Maybe.
Explain
the
story.
So there's one of the side missions or side ops or whatever they call them in Ground Zeroes. It had you using this blacklight scanner thing to remove a series of logos.
Was that that was one of the console exclusive ones, wasn't it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think it was the one where you got the classic snake one, the snake skin.
Oh, the 8-bit snake?
Classic snake skin.
Yeah. Are we back to his DVD again? Snake skin is just this, as like a rude kid in the back of your fifth grade class, and he like knocks over a waste basket. You're like, classic snake skin.
G.I. Joe character,
you know,
maybe?
It.
But so you're erasing logos across the base, and when you get them all, you get a message that say, although the name may be erased, the memory will live on forever, which is really weird. Like,
very cryptic.
It's either just a weird coincidence or like a very poignant look at what was to come.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, I mean, this was, Ground Zeroes came out last spring?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's also worth noting there's a mission where you rescue Kojima himself, which is kind of, I think it's kind of a weird, like, I mean, obviously it sucks that they're taking his name off of stuff because he, you know, it's his baby, you know, but he's also in it. Like, he's a mission in the sort of the prequel to that, whatever. And you have to give him his glasses back and he's all like, kept you waiting, huh? Or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Scott Sharkey pointed out once that Andy Kaufman – or that Kojima is kind of the Andy Kaufman school of game design. You know, you're just dealing with the enormous practical jokes that layer on each other. I don't know. I've given up trying to interpret what the man's doing. I don't know if this is meant to be prophetic or not, but – I like the fact that he just does zany stuff like this and leaves it open.
It might have even been that he knows his time is winding down. Like, maybe he doesn't want to work on Metal Gear forever. Maybe he was excited for Silent Hills and figured, like, he was going to take a break after this. Like,
So it is really interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. Honestly, and just more and more as all these stories are coming out, I am so excited to see how Phantom Pain turned out. Mm-hmm. Because everything we've played so far was incredible.
Also, I love that we don't know anything really about the main campaign.
That's like that and
the new Star Wars are both sort of like appropriately buried. And we've seen like a good chunk of them, but we still haven't seen anything.
Yeah. Seriously, I played 2 hours and barely scratched the surface of the campaign. We need to have Jose in here some week because he played almost 10 hours and he has a better grasp on all the weird stuff you could do in that game. Really excited for that. What was that September 1st?
I believe so.
Really excited.
They had some new, the new PlayArts Kai action figures at Comic-Con, and one of them was one of the characters that we see for a second in one of the Phantom Pain trailers, but it's like, I'm guessing a boss of some sort, but like this, who's got somebody put their phone on silent.
It's vibrating. It is on silent. It's on silent.
Keeps sounding like a little tiny car honking.
Okay. That's just the vibration there.
It's like one of the, I think it was when the Phantom Pain, before we knew it was Metal Gear, and there's the flaming whale, and there's the
Moby
Dick Studios stuff.
Yeah, but there was a, it looks sort of like kind of Psycho Mantis-y looking character, but like.
So. There's a handful. I actually played as them. When you rescue, there's a mission early on where you rescue Master Miller after he's been tortured, and as you're trying to get to the evac chopper, this group of like, they're almost like amphibian dropship Power Rangers, but they're really like messed up and psychic, and like the way they move is like really like, it's almost like the girl from The Ring, where like they pick out frames and she's all like shifty and like their bodies are contorting. But they have weird psychic powers and they can like appear behind you and one hit kill you. So they might have been those guys. Those guys were mean. The way I got around them was telling my horse to run straight forward.
I think they killed my horse
and I just went around. That was why Altano got really mad at the horse thing. It all stems from this.
Yeah.
Now that Altano's not here, we can talk about killing horses as much as we want.
We can kill a horse live today on the show. Stay tuned.
I don't want to kill horses, but I don't like them. Mean creatures.
You just want to hurt them real bad.
Yeah, no, I don't want to hurt them at all. But
you're the Joker.
Are you just
of
saying that because your favorite food is apples and sugar cubes?
No,
I was eating all your favorite food.
Those two facts are unrelated.
Is there any barley left? No, the horse ate it all.
No, they're mean. They bite. They kick. They're aggressive. They're unpredictable. They're temperamental. They have huge teeth.
I saw it. Mm-hmm. When I was in Australia, I went to a thing called the Melbourne Cup, and. Yeah. It's like a fancy room. I got to see the horses. They're pretty cool. First time I met any horses.
Weird. Just
invite me.
Just a weird little, just little.
I've had a weird life.
A path there.
Yeah, I've had a really weird life.
I went in a room full of horses. They were.
Who else? Weren't there like fancies in the room?
Yeah, there were a lot of fancies in the room. There were people making bets on horse racing that were like more than I will ever make in my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Now horses are legit delicious. So outside of that, horses. They really.
All right, moving on. News coming out at Evo. Out of the Evo tournament this weekend, we found out that and this actually. So Evo is a big fighting game tournament. It's every year. It is kind of the there are other tournaments throughout the year, but it is kind of like the definitive like fighting game tournament, at least in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And it is like there's really high level Marvel vs. Capcom, Street Fighter. This year they had Catherine competitively, which is fascinating to me. That's really cool.
Did you see the video of Guilty Gear?
Yeah, that's really cool too.
Now, there was a Guilty Gear tournament in the final. I think it was the finals. A guy thought that he had won the last round, and he got up and started gloating and realized it wasn't the last round. And like by the time he could get back to his controller, the other guy had already beat him in the last round.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, which is really good. So kids don't gloat.
Yep. Nope. And Smash Brothers has been there the last couple of years. So anyway, big fighting game tournament. The past couple of years, I think there were big Mortal Kombat announcements there last year, if I remember right, or maybe the year before. And this year, Street Fighter announced some stuff. They announced a new character, brand new to the game, not like, not an existing Street Fighter character. But more interesting, in my opinion, is they announced, so if you followed Street Fighter 4 and 3 even, there have always been like multiple Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. Yeah. Like they kind of iterate on it.
That goes all the way back to the beginning of fighting games.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. There will not be a Super Street Fighter 5 they announced this weekend. So basically the way it is, you will buy this game. There will be free updates for balancing and things like that. And then you'll be able to unlock additional characters and things with in-game currency if you choose to.
I think it's incredibly smart.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly wish that we had a model that was something between like season pass DLC stuff and like game of the year edition and just like buy this game, we're going to be adding to it, you know, yeah. like kind of what Nintendo's been doing with Splatoon where they kind of roll stuff out, you know, and they're
like make it a platform. It's like what we've all been waiting for, like Just Dance and Rock Band and all those things to do, like just stop with the numbered sequels and just put out one and then every year you add to it.
Expansion packs are they're symptomatic of physical media, you know, like that's not something we need to do anymore. And like I think that this is really cool. It's sort of weird because it's like they're also like you can unlock stuff, which is really interesting at the same time. They're like you can buy the DLC or you can just be really good at the game.
And unlock it in game,
And the whole thing is if people are playing their game is like you know, it's that peer pressure effect, you know? Like it's gonna be they want to have an active community, they understand that that's I think it's really smart from every angle, you know.
My one question about how this is going to work is that fighting game ecosystems are constantly being rebalanced. I mean, that was a big characteristic of major fighting game iterations. You know, there were three main Street Fighter threes, but you go through series after series, and every iteration rebalances the rules for the character roster in a very careful kind of systematic way, and they work really hard to get it right. And this isn't fighting game franchises from Street Fighter, but on to pretty much everything that's taken seriously. I wonder how you do that in a world where not all the fighters are present.
Yeah.
That troubles me a little bit. I'm not married to getting straight editions out. I think it is smart to roll out individual characters. It's a neat way to do it. But I do think you're going to have to be very careful how you're going to still have to have standard play fields that operate pretty much the same way these tiers do, or you are going to have your balance break down as you introduce new characters.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to how shooters do it, isn't it? Like they kind of just they will tweak a gun. They'll be like, we made the Glock less powerful, and then a bunch of people who work for Infinity Ward get death threats on Twitter or whatever. You know, like they're going to be making minor shifts here and there, but as opposed to
but for fighting games, it's not just one weapon that you choose. I mean, for a lot of people, they lock in on one person, and that is their character.
Yeah,
if you tweak, and people did tweak between editions and they get less powerful and you grab somebody else and maybe that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That's really interesting.
I would assume it's not like frequent. They're not going to be like weekly patches or anything, right? I would assume it's still an event when one of these patches comes out. It's just not going to be a requirement that you buy a whole new $30 or $60 SKU.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so they say there will never be a Super Street Fighter V, but I'm wondering, like, will there a year or two down the road be like a Game of the Year edition where it has all the DLC characters? Like,
or maybe you even do like on the marketplace, right? You can buy like all the DLC released so far for $30 or like a bundle deal kind of thing. I would imagine there are kind of slight exceptions to this, like something like a Game of the Year edition when they're done or something like that. I think they're just saying that like you can buy the base game and get up to date.
I just hope that we don't end up in a situation where, you know, I enjoyed Street Fighter II Champion Edition more than I enjoyed Hyper Fighting, for example.
Yeah.
Am I going to be in a place where I can't play Champion Edition, the equivalent of one edition anymore, and have to play the newer one that I don't like as much because the game has moved on? Am I going to lose my old platform where before I could have gone and found competition at that level? That worries me a little.
Yeah, I wonder too. I mean, this is obviously me speaking. I'm very naive when it comes to fighting games, so maybe I'm just dumb and uneducated. But
no, they're impenetrable.
Well, I'm just curious, like with this being on only PS4 and PC, like I most people use fight sticks anyway, so I imagine platform doesn't necessarily matter. But are there Xbox players who are going to suddenly have to learn a whole new control scheme or something?
Games that come in Xbox.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. People who play Street Fighter 4 on Xbox, are they going to suddenly is only being on PS4 and PC going to suddenly be harder for some reason, or does it not matter because of fight sticks?
I think because the control schemes have been so standardized over the years, I don't think we have to worry too much about that.
Yeah.
Especially since an Xbox controller and a PS4 controller are almost one-to-one functional at this point.
Were they, again, I apologize to people who think I'm dumb for asking these questions, but were there different balancing on Xbox versus PS3 for last gen?
I don't think so. I may be like, expressing my ignorance, but I don't believe
I don't think so either.
They're just all one consistent updates for one came to everything.
I think so. Yeah. Interesting. Also, we ran a poll just over the weekend about what Street Fighter character the IGN community wanted next.
And we chose the right one. We chose my favorite.
So the one that, this was a community choice, but number one was Blanka.
Yeah.
Number just behind Blanka was Akuma. And then I think Guile there in third. I was also happy to see Mike Hagar get almost 8% of the vote, even though he wasn't.
I don't know why you said just behind Blanka when he lost by like 10. What? Oh, no, never mind. I can't
remember. No, it's like 1% point. Right, 1% point. Yeah.
I was looking down at Guile. I didn't see that. Okay.
No.
As a kid, I pronounced him Ghoulie.
Did you
know how to pronounce
Guile? Yeah.
Is that what his name in Poland?
Yeah, his
Ghoulie.
Well, I wonder. Well, we see Guile with Charlie and the. I mean, now that they can release characters a la carte like this, I'm sure we'll see Guile because they don't be able to buy him.
The top three characters specifically will be.
I don't think we've seen Blanc is not confirmed yet.
No, Blanc is not confirmed yet.
He probably will.
Yeah. But with Charlie there. See, that's the other thing. You know, now we know they're going to sell characters because people will buy them. But Charlie and Guile, depending on the moveset you give them, are they going to be too similar?
Well, although Ken looks so different this time around from Ryu that, like, maybe they are finally differentiating a little more.
So Street Fighter IV, any of the editions, they really didn't, like, delve into sort of guest characters, did they?
What, like
sort of like how
oh, no, no Jasons and Predators running around the way that worked.
I don't know, personally, people like Vince are really against the idea of guest characters, but I think it'd be cool, especially just like delving into their Capcom library a little bit. Like put like Leon Kennedy or someone in there.
Street Fighter is the one franchise that I feel like is so like pure and unadulterated in that way. Like the fact that they're even introducing new characters was upsetting people this weekend. That they announced a wholly new character for Street Fighter V, and like I think a lot of people are excited that someone new. But then I also saw comments on like Gaff and stuff where people were just complaining about them not sticking to the core.
Well, the reason I put Khagar in there is because they did do that with Cody once. I mean, they have done it before. That's Cody ended up in Street Fighter.
Was that Cody from The Sweet Life with Zack and Cody?
No, no, that was that was Cody from was the brawler with
is it
Final
Zack
Fight.
Or Cody
Final
who is in that movie about being a pot dealer? Know the movie I'm talking about?
Oh, the Whackness.
The Whackness. Yeah, is that Zack
Jonathan
or Cody?
Levine?
Yeah, movie's really good.
We're the only three people who saw the Whackness.
Yeah, I like the Whackness a lot.
It had Ben Kingsley quoting.
It had what's her name from?
And it had Method Man and one of the.
What's the girl's name?
God, I always forget. I always want to say Emily Blunt, but that's not it.
No, it's not Emily Blunt. It's
there were Blunts in that movie though.
Yeah. What is this?
It's like a great movie.
What's her name? Gabby something or something. She's in something else. Oh man, I'm the worst.
Yeah,
she was.
No,
Judge Anderson.
That wasn't Sweet
Judge
Life of Zack and Cody. That was Drake and Josh.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Tiny bit here. We do this sometimes. Apologies.
Okay. This is a good one for Jared. This last one. Odin Sphere is coming to PS4, PS3, and Vita.
Yes. Let the people rejoice at the coming of Odin Sphere. Did you guys play it?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I played a lot of
MPS2. So Odin Sphere is this beautiful 2D side scroller. It's being released by Atlus, but it's by the guys from Vanillaware, that same hitters did. If you've ever played Muramasa, which is the most bulgingly gorgeous Wii game of them all.
It's really good looking on Vita, too.
And Dragon's Crown. Crown, right?
Dragon's Crown was...
I know Beyond listeners love that game.
A lot of butts in that game.
Dragon's Crown and...
butts and boobs. And,
different body cracks of all sorts.
And back in the day, the criminally criminally forgotten Princess Crown, which unfortunately we will probably never see because I don't remember where I originally heard this, but allegedly they lost the source code and the PSP version's all emulated and there's... no way to actually build it from the ground up anymore except to just completely restart.
That's not good.
Which is why we'll never see that beautiful game. I played that on Saturn in Japanese, and that's beautiful. Anyway, Odin Sphere is just lovely. It's one of the prettiest video games I've ever seen. It was released on the PlayStation 2. It's getting an HD update. It's going to be high definition. It's going to be simply gorgeous. It's also a very entertaining side-scrolling video game with a neat little story.
What type of game is it? I watched the trailer for this, but I never played it.
It's a side-scrolling action RPG. It's like it's real-time hack and slash combat, but there are a lot of deep RPG systems.
Okay. Yeah.
It's sort of telling this Norse... Yeah, a lot of talking. There's this sort of Norse mythology story that's running through it. There are multiple characters you play as where you sort of see the different sides of the war that is raging. The levels are interesting because they're these side-scrolling levels, but they're like circular. So if you go right far enough, you end up back in the beginning.
And the combat, the action RPG combat, one, you have this kind of deep RPG end, and then on the other, there's an almost fighting game feel to the encounters, but not quite. Mm-hmm. It's not quite that deep. It's quicker and snappier, and everything takes place in a few seconds. But you have a lot of options.
Yeah, a lot of crafting, a lot of food. I remember some cooking.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Again, anything that these guys have ever worked on has just been gorgeous. It looks nothing else looks quite like it. It's like seeing a painting come to life on your TV screen.
Yeah,
and even in SD, this game is still pretty.
Yeah, so it's gonna be gorgeous on Vita and on PS4.
They also teased that they're doing a new game entirely.
Partnering on something,
which is super exciting.
They did one of those great teasers where it's got a rating at the beginning. And it's like, here's
some logos.
And it just says coming soon. It doesn't even give you a name. You're like, what?
What did I just watch?
So to get
it's finally that ESRB video game we've been waiting for.
So to get ready for this, go back and play Dragon's Crown if you haven't already. You owe it to yourself. Get out there, find some friends and play it. And grab Muramasa on your Vita. If you don't have that, that's a must play on the Vita. Simply wonderful.
It's a Muramasa play.
Look at that. Nicely done.
Are you applauding yourself? Yeah.
But I never thought I'd see Odin Spear get an HD remake.
Someone else was applauding me.
Oh, I'm sure. Several people, I'm sure.
I can't figure out how they're going to make money on this, but I don't care. I'm just so happy.
Yeah, because you're going to buy it 11 times.
That may be it. Yeah.
Probably need to somewhere in 11 copies to make money, though.
Yeah. Everyone buy 11.
There's a new Godzilla game.
Jared, you played this Godzilla game.
I did play this Godzilla game.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this follows in the grand and glorious tradition of Godzilla games by sucking. I was really excited about it. But, you know, we're kind of tipped off a few months ahead of time when they said, oh, by the way, there's no local multiplayer in a Godzilla game. That's kind of
This was exclusive to PS3 and PS4.
Correct? Yeah, I played the PS4 version, and it is... It's fugly. The monsters look fine, but the environments look like they were made on a PS2. I can forgive that to a point in a budget game. Unfortunately, the controls are simply awful. They were trying to make you feel plodding, but you're steering. It's almost like Resident Evil tank controls. You're steering with the shoulder buttons to move around, and you plod, and you feel... You feel too much like a man in a rubber suit. You just do not have enough combat options. You really only have about 4 moves for each of the monsters. They're lovingly rendered and animated, but it's just not a lot of fun. You're trying to destroy things, and you keep growing, and you have this mechanic that's built around that, but it doesn't work very well. Most Godzilla games have been bad, with a couple of exceptions. And that goes way back. I mean, even the NES Godzilla was terrible. And things like Real-Time Monster Attack Simulator weren't any good. There's really only... a couple that I like. I love Destroy All Monsters, which is kind of the pro wrestling with Godzilla on the GameCube, if you guys have played
that. That was fun.
That's a fun one. And the other one, there's a wonderful fighting game for the Super Famicom, which is it's Street Fighter with Godzilla, and it's completely entertaining. Damon and I have spent a couple of hours here in the office playing it. No, it is not. Do not sully the majesty of Godzilla with the crap that is Primal Rage.
I wish Godzilla could fart.
But
eat a guy on the ground.
The title's in Japanese, but it's got some neat mechanics. It has a stun mechanic where you'll get somebody and kind of knock them down, and then if you roar at just the right time, you'll scare them. And the other monster will freeze, and you can pick them up and do something awesome. It's a fun game.
It's weird that there have been a lot of good kaiju games, but just none of them have really been Godzilla. I like War of the Monsters a lot. Obviously Rampage has its place in history. Even like certain levels, like the Lungfishopolis level in Psychonauts. Raz is like a mass, you know, he's a massive kaiju in town. That level's great.
I've been thinking this a lot lately. I would love a black and white game, and I think Godzilla could be great for that. Like, I'd love to see a game that is like a really
looked like awesome. An old toy.
Well, actually, I think
Sepia Tone or something.
I think there's a filter for this game that does that. I've seen it advertised in Japanese.
That's pretty cool. I mean, at this point, like the fidelity of even a really crappy looking PS4 game is miles beyond what they were working with back then.
Yeah.
So I'd be really interested to see something like that. It just sucks that I remember hearing about this getting announced, and I kind of like my ears perked up for a minute, and then it was like, this is going to be bad.
And it's such a great roster of monsters. Sure. There is a lot of love in the game, and it's just – I can't figure out what went wrong. I don't know if they ran out of money. I don't know if they got lazy.
Is the problem of sort of just playing as something that big, is that inherently the problem? Like, would a Godzilla game be better if you were playing as, like, a civilian?
No, I don't think so, because there have been games like that, and they've been bad, too.
Yeah.
They've gone with that several times. And even on – people have managed it on really primitive computers. There's a game called now I've forgotten. There was a Godzilla game on C64, even. Mm-hmm. It was good. Just moving around, knocking buildings down, finding monsters, that's not hard.
Yeah.
You can't – I think – I've speculated on this a lot, and I think most of it is trying to make a big budget Godzilla game may be the problem. I think the more people that get involved, the more ideas get in the room, and I think maybe sometimes they try to do too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an indie 2D one could be interesting, too.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I'd be pretty happy with just a Godzilla mod for like something like, you know, GTA. Destroy the city.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
That sounds wonderful. Movie Even, Monsters, that's the name of the C64.
They had on the SNES SimCity, they had like all those scenarios, and if I remember right, one of them was like a Godzilla.
Bowser would show up and destroy the city. But in the original SimCity, it was like a Godzilla-like monster. Really used to be able to grab the license. There's a way to make it work. There have been strategy games like that. The real-time attack simulator is like Advance Wars with Godzilla.
That to me is like the way to do it. I think that sounds awesome.
Wasn't very well done. But you did it right, it could be really good.
Well, the cool one would be like an asymmetrical fighting game where you've got one monster is good and trying to protect the city and the other one's bad, and it's sort of like It'd be kind of like
the most recent Godzilla movie kind of became that, right?
Yeah. And it's like it'd be kind of the score is affected by, you know, or the who's winning is affected by how much damage gets done. So you're trying to sort of like limit the collateral.
That's interesting. It's almost it'd like, be like the, sort of like Splatoon, where to bring it up twice, almost like where it's like territorial based.
But it would also be like the cops and triad. Like skill trees and Sleeping Dogs.
There's
like you can run over parking meters, but it's gonna really look bad as a cop.
Yeah,
but you can break a guy's neck, and it's gonna make you look cool as a gangster.
There's a mode in the new game that's kind of like that. It's just badly implemented. It's a great idea. That's how I would do it.
Game where four humans try to kill a monster.
Oh, that. But indeed. What could that be?
Yeah, you know what the worst Godzilla game was? That crappy level from Bart's Nightmare.
Oh, that is.
Remember that level?
Yeah, Bart's Nightmare is that is a weird game.
That's a real bad game.
That is a really strange video game.
Oh yeah,
no.
So, yeah, was that wait Bart's Nightmare or Virtual Bart?
Was in Bart's Nightmare.
Yeah,
okay. Those are both games in the 16-bit generation.
I remember that was it the Virtual Bart level where you're like a dinosaur the first time.
Oh yeah, where it's actually like
it's really uncomfortable because it's like Bart as a Gallimimus and you're like, this doesn't look right at all.
Yeah, do I see a weenus?
I think the worst Godzilla game I've ever played. One of the Super Famicom ones is just you walking through buildings slowly, like with a little meter bouncing underneath, and it is terrible.
We talked about. Last week, Max, did you play the Morpheus demo? That's like asynchronous, where you're the monster and you move your head.
Your face.
Yeah. That was interesting to me. I think we talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on the show last week, but it's the first time I saw Morpheus as a social thing, to where one player is wearing the helmet and or the mask and is sort of they're viewing from the eyes of the monster, and you can use head tracking to sort of knock things over. Yeah. And then the other players are playing on a TV using controllers, and they're controlling the little playroom robot dudes, and they're like trying to take the monster down. So it's like
it's almost like what Nintendo does with the Wii U. Like the player on the gamepad is a different experience than the people with the controllers.
If I were gonna make a new Godzilla game, I think maybe I try to hire the guys that make like WWE games or something. Something like that. Yukes. Yeah,
I don't know why I got real excited about
I think
Yukes
still makes wrestling games sometimes, don't they? They've been doing that forever.
What if FromSoft made it?
So
that's my suggestion for everything.
SquareSoft to make like Final Fantasy Tactics. I'd play that.
I could do that. What about
Rocksteady? You know, they took Batman.
Wow.
A really, really good bunch of Batman games that
I would love to see them do something different. Like, that's what I'm most excited to see from them.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, that's all I want. Andrew.
Hey.
You've been playing a video game.
I started a Vita video game, in fact.
Still exist?
That I really, well, some of them.
What's it called?
It's called Lost Dimension. And I can't say a ton about it yet, but it comes out, I believe, the end of the month. It's an Atlas game, and it's really cool. It's an RPG, but it almost scratches its like Danganronpa itch in that it's
that sounds real gross.
Something you'd get while riding the bus.
So basically, it's pretty typical. Like, there's a very, very, very basic story from the beginning. Is like there's a bad dude. And he has essentially like launched a missile. It's going to wipe out the world in like 13 days. And they're like, oh my God, like who can save us? It has to be the gifted. And I think there's like a dozen of them. And it's this dude who's like, yeah, like if you can stop me, I'm on top of this tower. You have to stop me to take out these missiles. Like, pretty basic setup. But then these characters are really interesting because basically I believe it is a dozen. And you have this mechanic where it's like everyone has their own gift. So like one is a healer and like one can like teleport. And like there's like someone who levitates. Like they have like these different abilities. And battle system's pretty cool. But my favorite thing about it is that there's this system where the bad guy, one of the members on your team, is a traitor, is a kind of inside man for the bad guy, and you have to determine who that is. And the idea is like you essentially have like trials, and you essentially have like much like Danganronpa, where you are determining who this person is, and you can accuse other people, and you maintain trust with your party, and basically like the more they trust you, the more effective they will be in battle. And if you find the traitor and kill them, then that is no longer available to you as a member of your party. And basically, I believe the first traitor is set, but then from then on, they're dynamic, like it's randomized. So it's really interesting because if you level up one party member and they end up being the traitor and they're gone, then you're stuck with a bunch of low-level people. So you have to kind of balance it out. And I don't know, it's really cool.
But then you were telling me, like, if you falsely accuse someone,
they'll, like, hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, they're never going to trust you.
Much less effective in battle. So wait, so you're describing trial stuff. Like, what's the actual... like minute-to-minute game.
So I don't know that I can say a ton about like mechanics so far. Yeah. Like, I think the embargo for it lifts very soon.
Well, can I say it? Because you told me.
Yeah.
You told me and no one told me about it.
I mean, so basically like the actual gameplay is like JRPG battles. Like, I mean, you have this cool system where it's almost like it is turn-based and you have like your party of a few characters and you can rotate between them and like basically like one character, like, say you have your healer and someone needs to be healed, you can use him. But if everyone's at full health, he can defer his turn to somebody else. So basically you can move on to, you know, the offensive guy, or like make it so like somebody gets two turns. There's also like, depending on, because you're moving in 3D space and you only have a certain amount of distance, but you can reset it as many times as you want to make sure you're doing your turn the way you want to. But if you attack from behind, like a back attack does more damage. If you attack too close to somebody though, they'll get a counter on you. But if you can have two party members around an enemy, then like you'll get an assist from that party member.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's like, I really like the battle system. It's really so
oh,
much
no.
that knocks over my bead self. It's really cool. I'm very early, so I'm sure there mm-hmm. are things that I don't know yet, and maybe details I'm not quite 100% on.
How many hours into it are you?
Maybe like 6 or 7. Like I'm real early.
No, but still, yeah.
Scratching the surface there.
But yeah, I really like it so far. I don't know where it goes, but I'm super into it. And I think we can say more pretty soon.
Yes, I mean, you said it's up by the end of the month.
Right? I believe it's out the end of this month, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we'll have more. And that's cool, because that's a Vita only, so it's not like a...
I think it might be Vita and PS3.
Oh.
I don't really? Think it's on PS4. I think it's Vita and
oh,
PS3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, everything you were telling me about it at lunch sounds super cool. Sounds like that's something I need to get a code for and play more of.
Yeah, I want to get a better handle on it, too, because I think everything I just said is completely correct. I'm so early, though. Like, I want to make sure that, like... You know, I understand all the mechanics and stuff before I actually. Like,
turns out you actually play as a dog, and it's
yeah. So I was actually just playing Tokyo Jungle
and it's
Mobile,
and it's a match 3 puzzler.
I love puzzlers and dogs.
It's the sequel to Card Fighters.
Yeah.
But anyway, keep your eye out for that.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. That sounds cool.
Cool. We have a lot of games coming out.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
A couple of them are important. Some of them aren't.
Some of them are not important.
Yeah. If you've ever wanted to play Mag Max at home, now's your chance.
Max.
Yep. That is a weird game.
What's Mag Max?
Mag Max is a completely not particularly important arcade game where you play as a robot and you start as like a little tiny piece of the robot and keep picking up little parts of him. It's a side-scrolling shooter. It has some neat effects where you move into above and below areas.
It's based on Max's life story.
But other than the fact that it's got this hilarious graphic of the robot kind of continuously kicking his legs like this until they're blown off and you have to grab new legs for him, it's kind of unremarkable.
Yeah.
I like that they do the arcade classic stuff, but Mag Max.
What is that? What is it from? I mean, what era?
1985 or
oh,
86 is Mag Max. Yeah, it's just an arcade game. It was released on the NES, but the port's not very good.
I love that you have information about this stuff. We're like, what? What is this? And you're like, well, here's the life story of the guy.
Sorry. Yeah, unfortunately, I got really excited when they had, I think, Mooncrest up, but this is not something.
You know, F1 is based on Formula One. It's kind of racing.
2015.
So. I like F1 2015 is like, that's a
tells you what you're getting.
That is one letter. And
F1 2015 PS4.
Yeah, a lot of letters and numbers there.
The one after that is Hot to Full Boyfriend.
I want the bird.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing.
I want to spoil the episode.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil the ending here. I only just found out about this. It's probably super old news. There is a like twist to that game if you unlock the second playthrough or like the true ending or whatever. That is like... fascinating and totally different than what I would have expected.
So since the game's coming out this week, we won't do it.
No, I'm not going to
legitimately,
look it
next
up,
week or next week, we'll just talk about what it is and we'll give spoiler warnings.
The Hot to Book Boy spoiler cast?
It is like, so the what the game actually is that you know, like if you're playing this game, you play as a girl in high school with all pigeons and you're dating pigeons.
You're dating some birds.
Dating some birds. That is the basic premise of that game. If you play through and unlock enough of the scenarios... there's a true ending or a true experience that's like a new game plus kind of thing. And that follows a completely different story that sheds light on the actual story. And I have never played this game. I know very little about it, but I read what that twist is. And man, I want to play it because it sounds really cool.
Yeah, I've been dying to play this. This just seems like a perfect Vita game.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Also, because I'll be on the train, people are like, what are you doing there? I'll be like,
dating a bird.
This is my stop. I have to get off the train now.
At the beginning,
I can't answer that.
I played at some event. It was like GDC or something, maybe PAX. There was like the beginning of the game. You see like anthropomorphized versions of the birds, like as dudes. It's really weird to like so you understand the archetypes better. It's very strange. It's a very weird game.
It's a game about trying to have sex with birds.
Yeah. If you had to date one bird, what kind of bird would you date?
Falcon.
Ooh,
we're very prepared.
Falcon is my go-to answer for like
peregrine falcon?
About a dozen different
isn't
questions.
A peregrine falcon the fastest bird?
Probably.
Sure is.
It's the cheetah of birds.
Yeah. America's next best bird.
My, something. My wife is terrified of emu, and yeah. one of the happiest days of my existence was being at a petting zoo and just throwing bird seed on her one day and watching what happened. It was really oh delightful.
God. You were just talking about how you're celebrating your 14th anniversary.
Well, that's why we've been together so long.
You throw seed that attracts your wife's fear?
Yeah, it was pretty marvelous. It really was. It
Here's
was
depression great, seed.
Wow.
No, that was that's a memorable day for
Andrew,
both of us.
Do you like any birds?
Who's your favorite fictional bird?
Ooh, this is tough.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Favorite fictional bird?
How do you know it's not tough?
You can name any fictional bird. I like
Big
the
Bird's
boo.
Good. Big
yeah,
Bird?
Chicken Boo.
Chicken Boo's a good one. Yeah.
The Good Feathers.
Big Bird.
Are we only doing Animaniacs?
Evidently. Alfred Chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, Alfred Chicken would probably be the answer.
Yeah. Yep. Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I almost said an F word. I really hate that book.
Oh, that book? No, I don't really like it either.
That's the first time anyone out of the show has ever not sworn and then apologized afterwards. Thanks, man.
Richard Bach is an awful man. I really hate that book.
Why? What did he do?
He wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
I never read that.
Yeah,
not,
it's
not a big
a,
fan.
If you ever wanted to read a greeting card that goes on for 87 pages, there you go.
Is it about a seagull?
Yeah, it's about a seagull that just... Like, if there's a... If all the people who did a lot of drugs in the 60s were sort of tired and got put on safer drugs in the 70s, it's that.
That's what you get.
It's like dentist office waiting room wallpaper, the book.
Yeah.
It's so awful. Yeah, don't ever read Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Play a Hot Tofu Boyfriend.
This week's episode brought to you by Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah.
Now available on PS4.
We also got Journey on PS4.
Yeah.
We beat a lot of dead horses on this show, but I feel like we've kind of just played Journey.
Them. Yeah, we eat a lot of dead horses on this show.
They're really good.
Yeah, I'm updating our review. By the time this goes up, the footage is already on the site. That we have the first 20 minutes, so you can see how it looks better.
Does it look a lot better, noticeably?
I literally haven't touched it yet. I got my code this morning, and I was not the one who captured it, so I will see immediately after this.
Thank you, Chloe.
It's cool if you already... Yeah, thank you, Chloe. That's rad of you.
That's her last name
as well. If you own the game on PS3, you also now own the game on PS4, so
cool.
Congrats.
Yeah.
There's a Nutjitsu.
Yeah, we're about to get into some weird ones. Nutjitsu, which is probably about squirrels.
Probably about squirrels, about ninja squirrels.
Yeah, usually we have descriptions of the games with these. We don't have descriptions this time, so we're just assuming.
We're using our imagination.
We have Onicha Habara Z2 Chaos.
I want to play Onicha Habara Z2 Chaos because that's a game about bikini cowboy ladies fighting zombies. It is the only game where you cut stuff up that I've played where your sword gets gross after a while and you have to shake it off.
Have you ever played an Onicha Habara game before?
I played one of the earlier ones. And I was like, it opens up with a shower scene where the ladies are just smelling each other, and it's just everything wrong with video games.
She's a cowboy lady, and her girlfriend is
a sexy bikini cowboy.
Right, yeah. And
the two of them have to go and fight some zombies.
But your sword gets so covered in gunk that you, like body fluid, that you eventually have to shake it out or you can't use it.
It's kind of an interesting mechanic because it's sort of like having to reload your sword almost. Oh, no,
I'm glad this isn't a Wii game.
Actually, it is a Wii game. I had the Wii version.
Did you have to shake your...
If I remember right, you did have to shake your nunchuck.
I'll probably drunkenly play this at some point.
No, I had the Wii version.
It's so stupid, and I like it. Poltergeist, a pixelated horror.
That sounds spooky.
Digital cross-buy with Vita, PS4. That's cool. What is it?
I know nothing about this.
Is it attached to the movie? Is it based on the movie?
Probably not.
Poltergeist?
Probably not.
Hopefully just on the great remake.
It's based on Poltergeist.
Oh, there we are.
Poltergeist and Nutjitsu. All right.
That's another of those famous chickens.
Yeah.
Famous birds.
Cube Director's Cut is out for PS4 and PS3. Cube's a pretty cool first-person puzzler.
Came in a big box.
Came in a big box?
I think so.
I don't think so at all. it's like sort of like Portal Antichamber. It's pretty cool.
Mm.
If you like first-person puzzlers. Squares is out on Vita. It's the hit sequel to Triangles.
Yeah, I love squares. They're great. They're like a rectangle, but they're all sides of the same.
Yeah, it's an equal opportunity.
An equilateral.
360 degrees of internal angles.
That's a one-to-one ratio right there.
Yeah, that's cool. Beautiful.
Wolfenstein the Old Blood is out on retail. I reviewed it digital. That's the prequel to...
That was the DLC.
Yeah, it's the DLC. It's got zombies that come out of nowhere. It's kind of weird. Yasai Ninja.
That's the sequel to No Ninja.
We've hit a weird wall.
Yep.
And Zombie Army Trilogy. If you haven't seen the hit trilogy.
You know, everybody's played Zombie Army 2, but this way you get the first and the third one.
Yeah. We apologize for not knowing what 90% of these games are.
Zombie Army Trilogy is like if you tasked an AI with naming a video game based on every other video game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, people who made that game, but Yeah, that's a really that's a zombie army trilogy. Okay,
turns out it's a lost classic.
Do better next week. Yeah. Max, I have a game I want to induct into the Essential 50.
Oh yeah, what is it?
I'm gonna tell you.
Zombie army trilogy.
Yasai Ninja Cube. No, this was a PlayStation 1 RPG that came out very late in the PlayStation 1's life cycle, pretty much by the time people had already moved on to PS2. It is Chrono Cross.
Oh.
Which is the, it's kind of a sequel to Chrono Trigger. Yep. I mean, it has the same Chrono thing. The story ties are very loose and kind of come halfway through the game. And the battle systems are very different. But yeah, this was a game. It came out in 99 in
Japan. A lot of discs in it.
It had a whole mess of discs.
It was like a four-disc game or something?
Yeah.
Can we just inaugurate the soundtrack into the Essential 50?
Holy moly.
Yeah, really good soundtrack.
And leave the frame rate and the character roster behind?
Hey, I didn't mind the character roster. So, yeah, this was, you know, there are loose ties to the original Chrono Trigger, but you play as a kid, like a beach bum kid who also may or may not be the bad guy who's a big old talking tiger.
Yeah.
And you meet your friend who's this like Jamaican girl. But then you meet a whole bunch of other weird characters. Like you meet a voodoo doll, like a talking voodoo doll. You become friends. Like one of the party members is just a straight up bird.
Isn't it like a block of wood?
A block of wood is one of them. A warrior who may or may not be a frog in human form from Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, Marty. Again, there's a lot to love about this game. The combat system's extraordinary. The soundtrack
is interesting. Yeah. Every, like characters have innate. They're sort of based on
Nate. No,
Nate. No.
Sorry, I'm looking up this block of wood.
But that character roster can just die in a fire.
Why? What's wrong with fire? Well, wanted to kill two things in a fire today.
I have been. I'm very angry. Very fire oriented.
And all the horses.
I did not want to kill any horses.
But once they're dead, you just want to eat them.
They're really good. I mean, horse is delicious.
I refuse to ask for this story.
Yeah, it's not a story. It's just people. I lived in Japan. People in Japan eat horse. Yeah, that's all there is to it.
So this wasn't. This wasn't Akira Toriyama attached to this.
No, I think he was long gone by then.
Yeah. No, Chrono Cross is a game that I've got a lot of affection for, but there is a lot wrong with it, too. I mean, it stretches on a lot. The character roster is probably too large. You end up with a bunch of people you don't care about in your party at places.
Yeah, sort of like Suikoden, though.
That's fair. Luchador.
Mushroom.
But in Suikoden,
a dog. But it's a tea kettle.
But in Suikoden, they go home. Like, at least most of these people have backstories. They have interesting things to say. And a lot of them just go back to the castle and, like, do their jobs. You're not forced to shoehorn them into your party.
Yeah,
And Chrono Cross, you kind of stuck bringing them. But that we just glossed over the music. I mean, Dream Near the Shore of Another World is maybe the best video game song ever.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say that this is a big old yes on account of the... By my count, there's about five different dogs you can have in your party. It's pretty exciting.
I think most of them talk as well.
That's all I need from any game.
Yeah, I mean, playing through it and finally getting to that point where you go back to...
Wait a minute. One of them's a skeleton clown. I don't know how I feel about
He's
that.
A jester. I believe.
I hate that thing.
Captain Olimar appears to be one of the characters.
he's an actual space alien.
And there's an anime pizza chef. Wait, is that just Zangief with a chef hat? This roster's kind of out of control.
It's a really weird game. Go ahead. I keep talking.
I don't know. There's the moment where it does finally tie in with Chrono Trigger, and you go back to Luca's house, and she sort of has it's this orphanage, and it's on fire, and you have to fix things.
The part where it kills all your favorite characters
where
from Chrono Trigger.
Where kills all your favorite characters from Chrono Trigger. And there's this really cool, like, instead of having different time periods, there's sort of a, there's a world and there's like an alternate reality world where what would happen if Serge is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the main character doesn't exist.
Which is such an important thing in that, as the name Chrono would imply, right? In the first game, it's all about kind of those multiple endings and different things that can happen.
Yeah, and it's just, it's such a bummer that the series has seemed to just go on away and will never come back.
Chrono Cross feels to me like a game that they'd never finished. I really like it.
Yeah,
it's on
a good
PSN,
video
right?
game. But what Chrono Cross? I don't.
Yeah, I mean PS1
is it on PSN. I don't know. I don't know. Honestly.
I just imagine.
I want to say it is. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
You've never been wrong.
Never happens.
But it's a game that in some ways feels kind of unfinished, but it's not unfinished in the horrible, like, you know, Xeno way. Like, it's not like a Xenogears unfinished where you're just sitting in a chair. It's they do manage to wrap it up. It just feels sometimes a little rushed there toward the end.
Yeah, and the battle system gets really weird. In order to get the best ending, you need to realize that your attacks, you have to choose how you attack based on the rhythm of the song in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, you would never know that that's how you're supposed to defeat the boss. Like, the way that the musical notes of the song that plays during the final boss battle, you have to have those correspond, I think, with the different colors of your
name. I had to look up a guide to finish the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird. So. Yeah, Chrono Cross. I like that. I like that video game.
That'd be an enjoyable video game there.
Yeah. Yeah, on account of dogs, I say that's a go.
Yeah. Plus one.
On account of dogs, which is weird because usually I'm against dogs. I'm pro dogs for this game, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because some of them are made out of cake, probably, based on the pictures of them.
Big fan of dogs.
I love dogs.
We're doing a thing here. You told me about this. You did this without my permission. You started this where we're recommending things. Is that how it is?
We want to give some structure to the end of the show.
I recommend you rethink your actions.
Sometimes you just end the show by being like, we're like halfway through a sentence, and you're just like, okay, bye. And
then good night. It's time for a nap, everybody.
Yeah, I think it's a nice thing. We do this on Unlock. We sort of go around and we tell people something.
I'm cool with that.
Something to watch. Last week, Brian talked about a show that you were on.
Yeah,
with chuckles and laughs.
The Comedy Button.
But you got to talk about
something else.
Proceeded
to be sick the next episode we did after that, so I wasn't on it. But
yeah, I was on it instead. Though. I was on it in your stead.
One of my favorite things right now is I'm reading a book of. It's a book. This is called Star Wars Costumes: The Original Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
It is a large coffee table esque book about how they made all the costumes in Star Wars.
Ooh.
And it's published by Chronicle Books. It's kind of expensive. It's like a $60 book, but it's also full of amazing photos of all the actual props and just like what goes into that. And it's I mean, it's kind of the opposite of game development in the sense that everything there is very, very real and physical. And it's like, mm-hmm. hey, we carved this out of, you know, plywood or polystyrene or whatever and made somebody wear it on their head. It's really interesting talking about, you know, fitting Carrie Fisher for that gold bikini and how that was an awkward time where they had to pull a little wax thing out of a freezer and make her wear it on her bosom and then have a conversation with her while the wax kind of molded to her. And just, I don't know, I'm really into practical effects.
Yeah.
So if you like Star Wars and you want to learn some cool behind-the-scenes stuff, that is a great thing to check out. Also, if you have any interest in cosplay, that is probably relevant to your interests too.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's awesome. I like that a lot. So Brian Albert and Marina Sanchez, who are two of our fellow coworkers here, have started watching a bunch of classic movies that they've never seen.
Yeah.
And so like, every time I see them, they're like, we're watching Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time.
It is exhausting, and it like it's one of those things where I just want to tear my hair out. It's good that they're doing it, but it's sort of just this like...
It's like they're so far behind on everything.
Yeah. We watched Die Hard for the first time a couple months ago with them.
Oh, man.
But they watched for the first time 500 Days of Summer, which reminded me how much I love that movie. And I rewatched it yesterday.
I still haven't ever seen that.
You need to watch it because I do a lot of creative writing outside of work, and that has been the most inspirational movie in terms of my creative writing of the last
there's
like, 15
a,
years.
Wow. There's a scene called Expectations versus Reality that's set to Eugene Spector's song that's really, really good. It's probably the best sequence in that movie.
Yeah, it's really good. That's if you want a movie that is real about relationships and it'll make you sad, it'll make you as sad as throwing birdseed on your lovely bride.
Yeah, it's got
that made me happy, not sad.
Yeah. Bride seed.
It's like weird too. There's like this sort of like animated sequence and musical sequence and stuff. Like they're really cool.
It's really smart.
I love it.
Yeah, that movie's cool. Go watch that. Andrew, do you have anything neat?
As far as stuff I'm doing, I did a good interview about Dreams with Media Molecule at E3 that I've very slowly been putting together. Should finally be up this week.
Yeah.
As far as cool stuff, I'm trying to get back into reading. I was really good about like reading for a long time, and then I took like 8 months off, and I forgot how to read, so I relearned.
It's hard. It's hard to find time to read. Less distractions in real life. And
I'm trying to get better about that, so it's like it's starting slow. Like a lot of people recommended The Martian, which I'd never heard of until the Matt Damon trailer came out. Mm-hmm. But if you have book recommendations, please tweet them at me because I really would love to know. Like I want to get back into reading really badly. I miss it. And it's like
Armada.
Don't read what?
Armada.
Okay.
The Klein book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard bad things.
That's my anti.
And I also heard bad things about the new Harper Lee book.
Yeah.
Or the
because she's
new
old
Harper
Lee.
Yeah.
Jared.
Yeah. I just finished a book by Jeremy Parrish, who's the editor-in-chief of U.S. Gamer.
Yeah. Former IGN.
Right. He's involved in all kinds of things. He's forever dabbling in this project and that project. One of the things he's been doing is playing every Game Boy game in chronological order from the first year of the Game Boy's life, Japanese and American. So he just finished a book called Game Boy World 1989, and it's a compilation of the first 25 Game Boy games from the Japanese launch and the 6 in the American. And in addition to the beautiful box scans that he's done of absolutely everything and screenshots captured off the original equipment and this really neat setup he has, he also finds – Jeremy's just one of the best writers in what we do, period. And somebody that I just envy his ability and his knowledge. And he finds something interesting to say about games that you would look at and never give a second glance otherwise. He will find something about the Mahjong game that's going to fascinate you that you've never seen, or something about the Shogi game or something.
Did you say Mahjong is Mahjong?
I think I said it wrong, yeah.
I just never heard of it. Mahjong.
I have impronounced pronunciation. Incorrect pronunciation. Anyway, Game Boy World 1989, I read it. It's a quick read, and it is lovely. It's a great new video game history book. And everybody should run out and buy it because it's wonderful.
Here, here.
Great.
We're actually working on a summer reading list, and I think that's going to be on there. So awesome. That'll be going up soon.
Nice.
Awesome.
IGN, some Borat references.
Yeah.
I like
too many Borat.
I like.
And to go outside and it's like 2004.
I always end up conflating the scene in Borat with the naked wrestling with the scene in Eastern Promises with the naked wrestling.
Wow, those are very far apart.
I know. Yeah. It hurts my brain. Yeah. Cronenberg and Borat. Yep. Like, yeah.
So a lot of people I want to point out that we started bringing back Borat references on the Comedy Button kind of as a mean joke because they're so unfunny in 2015. It's been like, what, 10 years since that movie came out?
Yeah.
Basically, it's like when dogs fart and they like leave the room and they're just like, and they're just like, oh, I know this sucks. And they just leave and everyone's like, what the? Why does it smell like that in here? It's awful. And making a Borat reference nowadays is just like, it's too late. It's too wrong. And it's kind of just like, it's not even a joke. It's like it's a dog's fart. It's just a problem. Yeah, it's a like, problem you've introduced to a situation.
It's a weird habit here now. Like whenever anyone says my Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
Wi-Fi.
Or white wine is a good one.
Oh, God.
Wine. All right. On that note, I apologize to everybody who had to hear that. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah,
if you'd like to follow us, if you want to write.
Yeah, you can write beyond@ign.com. Send us letters. Send us ideas for topics, questions. We go through all those. Join our Podcast Beyond Facebook group. It's a really swell group of people. We sometimes mind that. We're always in there, and we also mind that for cool things to talk about. Quickies with Brian, or whatever he calls it, or Rapid Fire.
Cookies with
Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
What was the other? Andrew. There was Rapid Fire, and then there was an alternate in that we came up with, too.
I don't know. Fasties with Brian.
Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah.
I like Cookies with Andrew. I think that's still, like,
I love
you and a little.
I'm a big
little,
cookie fan.
Yeah, a little thing at McDonaldland cookies just sitting there. Huh? Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity.
Yeah.
With some of the G's and some of the T's.
I'm also at _ Babette's Feast.
Really?
No.
All right. And Andrew, you're Garfep.
Yep.
And Jared, you are Petty, Jared.
That's right. With the C-O-M-M-A spelled
don't,
out.
Don't follow Brian.
All right. Brian is...
Brap or something?
Yeah, he's horse e-books or whatever. All right. Thank you all for listening and beyond.
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 Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.